Turn in God's Word to the second chapter of the book of Ruth, Ruth chapter 2. Commence our reading of God's Word from the second chapter of the book of Ruth. This is God's Word. Naomi had a relative of her husband, a man worthy of the clan of Elimelech, whose name was Boaz. And Ruth the Moabite said to Naomi, "Let me go to the field and glean among the ears of grain after him, in whose sight I shall find favor." And she said to her, "Go, my daughter." So she set out and went and gleaned in the field after the reapers. She happened to come to the part of the field belonging to Boaz, who was of the clan of Elimelech. Behold, Boaz came from Bethlehem, and he said to the reapers, "The Lord be with you." And they answered, "The Lord bless you." Then Boaz said to his young man who was in charge of the reapers, "Whose young woman is this?" And the servant who was in charge of the reapers answered, "She is the young Moabite woman who came back with Naomi from the country of Moab." She said, "Please let me glean and gather among the sheaves after the reapers." So she came, and she has continued from early morning until now, except for a short rest. Then Boaz said to Ruth, "Now listen, my daughter. Do not go to glean in another field or leave this one, but keep close to my young woman. Let your eyes be on the field that they are reaping, and go after them. Have I not charged the young men not to touch you? And when you are thirsty, go to the vessels and drink what the young men have drawn." Then she fell on her face, bowing to the ground, and said to him, "Why have I found favor in your eyes, that you should take notice of me, since I am a foreigner?" But Boaz answered her, "All that you have done for your mother-in-law since the death of your husband has been fully told to me, and how you left your father and mother and your native land and came to a people that you had not known before. The Lord repay you for what you have done, and a full reward be given you by the Lord, the God of Israel, under whose wings you have come to take refuge." Then she said, "I have found favor in your eyes, my Lord, for you have comforted me and spoken kindly to your servant, though I am not one of your servants." And at mealtime, Boaz said to her, "Come here, eat some bread and dip your morsel in the wine." So she sat beside the reapers, and he passed to her roasted grain. And she ate until she was satisfied, and she had some left over. When she rose to glean, Boaz instructed his young men, saying, "Let her glean even among the sheaves, and do not reproach her. And also, pull out some from the bundles for her, and leave it for her to glean, and do not rebuke her." So she gleaned in the field until evening. Then she beat out what she had gleaned, and it was about an ephah of barley. And she took it up and went into the city. Her mother-in-law saw what she had gleaned. She also brought out and gave her what food she had left over after being satisfied. And her mother-in-law said to her, "Where did you glean today? And where have you worked? Blessed be the man who took notice of you." So she told her mother-in-law with whom she had worked and said, "The man's name with whom I work today is Boaz." Naomi said to her daughter-in-law, "May he be blessed by the Lord, whose kindness does not forsaken the living or the dead." Naomi also said to her, "The man is a close relative of ours, one of our redeemers." And Ruth the Moabite said, Besides, he said to me, "You shall keep close by my young men until they have finished all my harvest." And Naomi said to Ruth, her daughter-in-law, "It is good, my daughter, that you go out with his young woman, lest in another field you be assaulted." So she kept close to the young woman of Boaz, gleaning until the end of the barley and wheat harvests. And she lived with her mother-in-law. Amen. God bless to us this reading of his infallible and inerrant word.
We've been considering the word of God as it's brought to us in the book of Ruth under the heading, "The Road to Redemption." We've seen how Elimelech has taken his family into Moab, away from the household and land of God because of a famine that was in the land. Taking his wife, Naomi, their two sons, the young men had married into the families of Moab, two young women. Three men had died, leaving the three widows. Desperate situation. Difficult situation. Vulnerable. Physically, without companionship, no one to provide for them. They had each other emotionally. And then we read how that the word comes to Moab of God visiting the people of God in Judah once again, and Ruth decides to pick up the family, as it were, return back to the land of Judah. Orpha and Ruth give the impression initially that they're going, and Naomi says to them, "No, it's better that you stay where you are. No prospect for you in Judah. I'm too old. I can't provide any sons who will then be able to marry." He says, "Even if I was to meet someone tonight and today and marry them and conceive this evening, I wouldn't. Would you wait until they were grown up in order to marry them?" Orpha takes this counsel and she decides to stay, go back to her home and to be with her mother. Prospects, maybe she'll find a Moabite husband, marry, settle down, have a family, have a normal life. Ruth chooses a different option. Drastically different option. An option with no prospect, humanly speaking, of any hope. She's going to go with Naomi, a middle-aged woman, back into Judah and Bethlehem. She's going to have to work. She's going to have to provide for both herself and Naomi. The environment she's going to have to do it in is going to be hostile. The hostility is not going to just come from the fact that she is a Moabite, because we know from the last verse of the book of Judges that everybody in Judah at that time was doing what was right in their own eyes. It was a free-for-all scenario. The bullies ruled. The biggest and the worst in the town had their way. Not a good environment for anybody to be in, let alone a young, foreign, beautiful-looking woman. Who would care about her, or who would care for her if anything was to happen to her? Nobody would care. Nobody would care. Naomi would care, but out with Naomi, who would care? And who's Naomi anyway? Just an elderly widow. So the risk that Ruth was taking was huge. What lay before her was a life of loneliness. She would live with Naomi. She would provide for Naomi and herself.
Naomi would die in due course. And then, what would she do? She'd be on her own. Loneliness is not a pleasant thing. Loneliness is tough. You can be lonely when you're on, or you can be lonely when you're a family, in a family. It's not just being on your own. You can be lonely even within a family. This young woman was going to experience a very lonely existence. But there's a road out of this life that she's in. A road to redemption. We saw this morning in our consideration that this road to redemption has within it, or is marked by, God-given opportunities. How the law of God provided for the care of the fatherless, the sojourner, and the widow. Those who are reaping had to leave some for the sojourner, the fatherless, and the widow. How those who were picking the olive groves had to leave some for the sojourner and the fatherless and the widow. Those who were picking the grapes of the vine had to leave some for the fatherless, the widow, and the sojourner. There was provision in the law of God for the care of those within the state of Judah. And Naomi was aware of this. And Naomi understood this God-given opportunity. And I spoke this morning briefly of how we live in a land of opportunity with respect to the knowledge of the things of God. Unlike many people who live in our globe, we have access to the life-changing truth of God's Word. A phenomenal, truly astonishing opportunity. But the road to redemption requires choices to be made, good choices. And Ruth was at the forefront of that choice-making. Ruth was at the forefront of that choice-making. She reproaches her mother-in-law in the second verse of the second chapter of the book, and she says to her mother-in-law, "Let me go and glean in a field among the ears of corn." She gets back a response that's positive. "Go, my daughter." She goes and she is polite, verse 7, in her request to the man who's responsible for the reapers. She's focused. She works hard. We read that she works all day from the morning with only a short rest. She's not afraid of work. She's not afraid of going out into a place that she doesn't know, into a community she's not familiar with, to a body of workforce that she has never been acquainted with. She's prepared to go and ask a question, and when given the opportunity, she's prepared to work. She seeks out the opportunity, she finds the opportunity, she avails of the opportunity, she labors in the opportunity, and she labors with integrity and thoroughness and focus. And we who live in this land of opportunity must seek out as you do. And it fills my heart to see you in this building, morning, evening, each Lord's Day. You seek out the Word. You seek out this life. You seek out this truth. You seek out this good news. And on seeking it out, then you apply it. You apply it to your life. You own it. You don't just hear it for the sake of hearing it. You don't just receive it for the sake of receiving it. You're not just here because you think the expectation is that you should be here, but that in hearing it, that you own it, you consider it, You allow it to impregnate your heart by the grace of God. It impresses upon yourself, your mind, and your soul, and this word will change you. The road to redemption was then filled with God-given encounters and encouragements. We read that she finds herself, just as it happens, in the field of Boaz. Boaz is a relative of Naomi's husband, verse 1. He's a worthy man of the clan of Elimelech. He's a godly man. We see that from his greeting to his reapers in verse 4. He's a man of integrity, something that we will see as it unfolds the story. He's a man of property and wealth, given the fact that he has this harvest, both barley and wheat. He's a man who is respected and a man who is honored by those who work for him. This man is a godly, good man. And there's a providential event that crosses Ruth's path because, as we see, she finds herself in the field of Boaz. That wasn't just something that happened. That was something that God preordained. And in that providential event, there is a providential encounter because we see that Boaz makes his way from Bethlehem to this field on this day that Ruth is in this field laboring. This is something that God is doing. This is something that God has planned and that God is purposing for his goodwill. The opportunity has been provided. She has pursued that opportunity. And there follows the providential events and encounters and experiences. The encouragements that Boaz brings to her are many. He tells her to stay in the safety and security with the young woman. It's clear from what Naomi says in the 22nd verse that the harvest field was a place of vulnerability for a young woman. When Ruth tells her that she is to stay in Boaz's field, Naomi says in the 22nd verse, "It's good, my daughter, that you go with his young woman, lest in another field you be assaulted." He not only provides security for her and safety for her and among the young women who are working for him, he actually says to the young men, "Stay away from her. Stay away from her. Have I not charged the young men not to touch you?" And then he says to her, "You stay in the field and work all day. You don't have to worry about going off to get water to quench your thirst. I will provide water through my young men. You can go to the edge of the field and you can take of their water and quench your thirst there." Now, those were phenomenal blessings. He didn't have to reach out to this young woman in this way. He could have let her be where she was, let her go about her lawful business. He was fulfilling the law of God. He didn't have to provide for her in this way, but he does, because he loves her. He loves her in God. The affectionate love, it hasn't been aroused at this stage, but he loves her. He sees her. God brings encouragements to her. And then he feeds her from his table until she is satisfied. And then on top of that, he provides for her and Naomi through telling his reapers to actually allow her to work in among the sheaves. You see, you weren't allowed to work in among the sheaves. These men were working. Harvest time was a very important time. You had to gather in the harvest at that time. If you missed the harvest, you missed that for that season, that year. There wasn't a harvest coming every month. There was a window of opportunity when the barley and the wheat would ripen. They would go in They would cut down the barley and the wheat. They would gather it in. It would then be threshed in the evening. And the threshing would leave the heads of the corn or the heads of the barley or the heads of the wheat. And then that would be sold in order to provide the wealth for the business for the year. And this was a business. This wasn't just a society of people gathering up for the day and turning up. If they wanted to turn up, they did. And if they didn't want to turn up, this was something that was very focused. And so they didn't want women tramping in among all that was going on. There was a very defined area. You can glean behind the reapers. You can glean on the edges of the field. But he or she has been given permission to actually go in among the sheaves as they are reaping and gather out what she wants. And more than that, as they gather the stalks together, they are to pull bundles out and leave it for her to receive. No wonder that Naomi is totally astonished when she comes back and sees all that has been provided. The road to redemption is one of opportunity, one which requires the pursuance after that opportunity, one which will receive encouragements by way of divine events and divine encounters. But on the road to redemption, you have to ascertain and know your real need. You have to ascertain and know your real need. Naomi and Ruth are now materially secure. They are not in a situation any longer where starvation is at the door. Such has been Boaz's provision for them, not just on this day, but through the command of Boaz. She is to stay within Boaz's gleaning community for both the barley and wheat harvests. So they have before them the prospect of being provided for. All the material needs have been met. And what Ruth will do is she will glean enough during this period of harvest season, but with the help of Boaz and these reapers giving her this extra opportunity, that they will not only provide enough grain for themselves, but they will provide enough grain that will enable them to then sell that grain and to bring in an income that could sustain them for the rest of the year. So effectively here is Ruth in a position where previously she would have thought, how are we going to get through it? Well, I'll work through the harvest season and we'll see, we'll get ourselves through that, and then we'll reach the end of the harvest season and then we'll take the next step. Here she is at the beginning of the harvest season, or whatever stage this is that she begins into this, and we see that she is not only going to have enough to do her for the harvest season, but the prospect is that they're going to have enough to do them for a long time. This is an astonishing blessing, an astonishing gift to them. In many, many ways, their lives are made easy overnight by one event and one field and one day. God takes provision for them and care for them. It's clearly evident when Ruth says, I have found favor in your eyes, my Lord. You have comforted me and spoken kindly to your servant. Comforted me. Not just for the morning or the afternoon or the day, but comforted me for the whole season. Not just comforted Ruth, but comforted Naomi. Naomi comes back and she says, where have you gleaned today and where have you worked? Blessed be the man who took notice of you. And there's a statement there of weight. Blessed is this man. He has given you so much. And yet, Naomi knew that their real need had not been met. We look at this and we think, here they are. Everything's provided for. But Naomi looks at this and this blessing, and she's thankful for this blessing. She's thankful to Boaz for his kindness. She says in verse 20, may he be blessed by the Lord, whose kindness has not forsaken the living. She understands the magnitude of Boaz's gift through this to her. And yet, Naomi realizes that the real need still has to be met. Where do we see that? We see that in that verse 20. who has not forsaken the living or the dead. What's Naomi speaking about there? Why does she refer to the dead? She's referring to the name of her husband, the names of her two sons, and the land that was owned by the family. Naomi is looking here, and she's not looking simply at the provision of the barley and the wheat. She's looking to something of much greater import and significance for the family. She's looking to the restoration, or the possible restoration, of the name and the land. Why is the name important? Why is the land important? Because the name and the land marks them out in the heritage of God's people. They are the people of God. And their name bears the imprint of being the people of God. It's not about the value of the land. It's not about owning the land. It's what the land communicates about who they are. It communicates that they belong to the covenant-keeping God, that they will receive the steadfast love of this God. And so whilst Naomi understands that their physical needs have been met, she also understands that there is need for these deeper realities to be met. And I want to ask you tonight, unbeliever, as you sit here, you sit in the place of opportunity. You're seeking to hear God. There are divine encounters that God is bringing into your life. There are encouragements to be received by conversing with the people of God. But do you really get it? Do you get that this is not just about being in church? Do you get that this is more than that? Do you get that this is not just fulfilling for you a religious need in your life? Do you understand that there's a much, much deeper reality that you have to encounter and experience? Do you get the point that it's not simply in the hearing of the Word of God, it's not simply in you receiving the Word of God that the importance lies? It's in you taking that Word by the Spirit of God and owning that Word, and you receiving forgiveness from Jesus Christ. You cannot inherit a place among a community of God's people. You cannot receive the loving kindness of God unless you come by the grace of God to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. If you're merely interested in the wheat and the barley and the material things, they will satisfy you for a season. But believe you me, you will go. Other people have come here and they've sat and they've been tickled by the preaching of the Word of God. They've come in and they've said, we've liked this church, we like the people in this church, these people are friendly, they speak to you. And then what happens is, because they don't understand, by the grace of God, their real need, then they up and they leave. Why? Because the preaching changes? No, the preaching doesn't change. The preaching may be up a bit and down a bit, depending on what the situation is in a given week. But the preaching is generally in a plateau. Do the people change? Do the love of the people change? No, the love of the people don't change. What happens then? Why do people come in and are so enthusiastic, so eager, so keen, so desirous? It's because they never really come to understand their real need. They don't get it. What Naomi says is that on this road to redemption, you need to ascertain the real need in your life. And on this road to redemption, you need to know who the real Redeemer is. When Naomi asks Ruth here, whose field did you go into? And Ruth says, it's Boaz's field. Well, you see, Boaz is introduced to us in the first verse as a relative. And then he's introduced to us as a clan of Elimelech. And then we're told in verse 20 that he's a close relative. And then we read at the end of verse 20 that he's a kinsman redeemer. A kinsman redeemer. What's a kinsman redeemer? Well, we read in Leviticus chapter 25 what a kinsman redeemer is. A kinsman redeemer, chapter 25, Leviticus verses 23 and 24. The land shall not be sold in perpetuity, for the land is mine. You see how important the land is? For you are strangers and sojourners with me, and in all the country you possess, you shall allow a redemption of the land. If your brother becomes poor and sells part of the property, then his nearest redeemer shall come and redeem what his brother has sold. If a man has no one to redeem it, and then himself becomes prosperous and finds himself sufficient means to it, let him calculate the year. And he goes on and he speaks that if a man dies, then what's to happen is that his brother is to marry the widow, and he is to then, if he has give by the grace of God to father a child, then that eldest child of that relationship between the former deceased's widow, or the deceased widow, and his brother, that eldest child takes on the name of the deceased individual, and he takes on the property rights of the deceased individual. And what Naomi is saying is here, you haven't just walked into a field. You haven't walked just into anybody's field. You haven't just walked into the field of a man who is a relative. You haven't just walked into the field of a relative who is the clan. You haven't just walked into the field of a close relative. You've walked into the field of one of the kinsmen redeemers in our family. The kinsmen redeemers. This man, by the grace of God, if God opens up a relationship between you and him, this man is life to us. He's life to us. Because if God permits that you marry this man, and you have a child, then that child will take on the name of your former husband. And that child will take on the property rights of your former husband and of my husband. It's not about the wheat and the barley. It's about the heritage in the kingdom of God. And this man, Boaz, is that man. By the providence of God, he is the kinsman redeemer. He is the way of life. He is the way of opportunity. He is the way of providential encounter and providential encouragement. And that's what we're about in this church. The road to redemption is about a redeemer. The only redeemer of God's elect. That Redeemer is Jesus Christ. Only Jesus Christ can redeem you from the curse of the law, Paul writes to the church at Galatia. Only Jesus Christ can redeem you and give you forgiveness of sins, he writes to the church at Colossae. And it is through his shed blood that he purchases that redemption. And that redemption is eternal. As Naomi looked into the eyes of Ruth, and she heard with her lips Boaz, these are words that speak life. This is a name of heritage and prosperity. Not just material, but spiritual. And as you sit tonight, here is your Redeemer. His name is Jesus Christ, a descendant of this young Moabite woman, a descendant of a foreigner. And she comes, and he comes through her line. And he comes tonight to you. And he speaks to you and he says to you, I am your Redeemer. He says to you, I laid down my life 2,000 years ago as an atonement sacrifice for your sin. He says to you, I took the curse of the law. On me was the chastisement that was due to you was laid. He says to you tonight, I will bring forgiveness to you. He says to you tonight that forgiveness is real. He says to you tonight that this redemption is not for a season, it is eternal. He comes to you and he speaks to you of that redemption. He speaks to you of that redemption with clarity. He speaks to you of that redemption with honesty. He speaks to you of that redemption with integrity. He speaks to you of that redemption with reality. But do you hear his voice? Do you hear his voice? Or is it just about the barley and the wheat? And for those of you who are believers in Christ, where are you going tonight? Are you still on that road to Moab? Or are you heading back to Bethlehem? Are you heading back to Bethlehem? If you're heading back to Bethlehem, look at Christ. Humble yourself and look at Christ. Look into the eyes of Christ. Hear in the voice of Christ the redemption, full and free. Receive in Christ forgiveness of your sin. Turn to Christ and repent. Repent of that wandering. Repent of that wandering. Whatever that wandering is, repent of it. Come to believe in Jesus Christ. Come to walk in the ways in which you know are right. There is blessing in Christ. Unbeliever, you come to him tonight. You trust in him. Believer in Christ, seek after him with all your heart. Seek him after him with all your soul. Live for him. For this redemption is real. And this redemption is glorious. And this redemption is eternal. Amen.